can save the human race from its miseries. And only Jesus can do that. So that's the representation we just had. John the Baptist reminds me of this joke. And I'm going to ask this question, and I want you all to give me the answer. What do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptist have in common?
What?
The what? The honey. I don't think that's the answer. Yes. You know what? You're right in a way. You are right in a way. But for me, I have a particular answer I'm looking for. Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptist. Well, they have titles. But that's not the exact answer. Yes?
Is that what?
The middle name is the same. There. Put your hands together. Thank you. You know, Winnie the Pooh, John the Baptist. So that's the common title they have, or common words they have. So last weekend, liturgy focused on reconciliation as the main theme. And reconciliation is a precursor of having great peace, as the prophet Isaiah told us last Sunday. And of course, he pointed to Jesus, just as what we're having here, these children coming forward and pointing to Jesus. You know, he pointed to Jesus as the only one who has all the credentials, infinitely, to be able to bring about this peace. Although we know we have the children of God around with us here, men and women who are peacemakers. They move around trying to bring this peace around, but they are only doing so because they allow themselves to become instruments for Jesus. Jesus working through them to bring about this peace that the world needs. And so today, the theme for this Sunday's liturgy is that of great joy. You know, it's a product of what we are talking about. This joy is a product of reconciliation and peace. And this particular joy is a gift coming from God, given only to those people who take the path of reconciliation and peace. Remember the words of the angel on the night that Jesus was born, the Lord's nativity. You know, they came singing. And also talking to the shepherds, you know, we bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by all mankind, because in the city of David, tonight in the city of David, a savior has been born for you, a savior. And that savior, that word savior, takes us back again to the Annunciation. You know, when Angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to bear God's son. And his name shall be Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins, from their sinful conditions, from all human miseries which we're all experiencing. One day they will all come to an end. But Jesus is doing an underground work with all of that. He's doing an underground work, and some of us are seeing it. And some of us are agents of that. Working with Jesus to bring about a better world. So not a lasting peace, not a lasting happiness. Because where we find that will be when we die. When we go to heaven, we will now have a complete fulfillment of all the prophecies, of all the prophecies of old. And so the three readings today, this particular theme of joy spreads across. They come in as a result of the fact that those who are giving us this information, they already have experienced it and are telling us, just you wait, be courageous, be blessed, because very soon you will also have that same experience of great joy. And so they say, in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah says, courage, do not be afraid, God is coming to save you. God is coming to save you. In the second reading, St. James puts it this way. Be patient. Do not lose heart. And no better person to say that than James. James was under the tutorship of Jesus Christ for 3 years while Jesus was on earth. And during those wonderful 3 years, James learned a lot from our Lord. Remember once when they were on their way to Jerusalem and they were passing through the town of the Samaritan and they were so inhospitable to them, and James got angry and asked Jesus, "Jesus, give me the permission to cause thunder to come down and strike all these people and destroy them." And Jesus said, "No, you must not do that, James." And so it goes on that way. James learned to be patient with the Lord, be patient with situations in life. And so we also have in the gospel the lovely words of Jesus to his cousin John the Baptist, who was in prison. Jesus says, "Happy the person who does not lose faith in me." And no better time for John to hear those words than his present situation. These words are addressed, they are timeless words. They are addressed to you and I. We all need these words, because at times we find ourselves in dark and difficult situations in life. John the Baptist was a God-fearing man, yet he ended up in a dungeon under sentence of death. Remember, Jesus was still around. That was his cousin, and this was his forerunner, but now he has some trouble. Bad thing is happening to him. We can do our best, but bad things can happen to us. We can't escape it. We feel let down by God when such things happen. We doubt God's love for us and perhaps even his existence. At times like this, we should take courage from those timeless words. "Blessed is the one who does not lose faith in me." God has his own time. God has his own pace. We have to walk. We have to try, bend ourselves and fall in line with God's own pace, though it's not easy. We might be going along nicely, but then a storm, one of the storms of life, will suddenly hit us. It may be unemployment, it may be a serious illness, it may be a tragedy in the family, and so on and so forth. These kinds of things shatter our faith in the right order of things and even in God. At times like this, we should take heart from the words of Prophet Isaiah. "Courage, do not be afraid. Your God will certainly come to save you." We all want a lasting peace in this world. Some people are working to bring about that peace. These persons have every reason to grow weary and give up because of the apparent lack of progress. Peacemakers should take heart from the words of St. James. Be patient. Do not lose heart. God notices that. God will make things work. All shall be well again. Death constitutes the severest test of all our faith. We constantly live our lives under the shadow of death. All of us, but especially those who have recently lost a loved one, should take comfort from the words of Jesus. "Blessed is the one who does not lose faith in me." Some parents have experienced the pain of seeing their children give up the faith. In spite of all they have done, giving them good examples, these parents should take courage from the words of St. James. Be patient. Do not lose heart. It shall be well. God can make things right. Remember that God writes straight on crooked lines. He writes straight on crooked lines. You never can tell. In the future, they will encounter God. God has his own way of arranging things. And perhaps at that time, they are better prepared, more matured to embrace the faith. Each of us knows the kind of situations that cause us to be fearful and anxious. We can't stop ourselves from feeling afraid, but we must not allow our fears to cripple us. Courage is not never feeling afraid. It is feeling afraid and going on in spite of it. Faith is a fragile thing. We must not be surprised when doubts arise within us. God will understand our doubts in a world like ours. But blessed are we if we do not lose faith in Jesus. And twice are we blessed if, like Jesus, we can show forth our faith in deeds of love and mercy. and in that way continue to assist Jesus to bring about a better world.
May we now rise as we profess our Catholic faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate by the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death, and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this third week of Advent, we pause amidst the preparation intrinsic to this season to rejoice in God's saving action within our lives.